Okay, let's go ahead and start. This is the Vanguard Academy board meeting for Tuesday, February 25th, 2020. And we'll start with Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll start with the roll call. This is Kent Johnson, board chair, and we'll go around the table.
Grace Mitchell, treasurer.
Eric Freeman, board member. John Williams, CFO.
David Kingston, vice chair.
Kim Mangum, board member.
Joy Palmer, curriculum director.
Suzanne Owen, director.
Stephanie Evans, minute taker.
Okay, good. We'll open it up for public comments, if we have any public comments. Limiting that to 3 minutes, it doesn't look like.
There is.
Oh, there is.
That called in on the phone.
Oh, good.
You're on speakerphone. Everybody can hear you now.
Okay. Hi. My name is Jeff Palmer. I've been a student at Vanguard since 2015. That's the year that they first opened. And I'm one of the first students who's graduating that spent all of their junior and high school years at Vanguard. And I really love Vanguard. It's a really amazing school, and I've worked really hard to graduate 1 year early. I want to thank the board and administrator for a Vanguard for giving me so many opportunities so I can be able to do this. And I'm super excited to graduate this year. And I have a request for the board. I'm going to ask you to define a student, a senior, as a student who will be graduating at any time during the school year. This is my last year at Vanguard, but I'm not allowed to participate in any of the senior activities like fun, the senior t-shirt, or the senior picture, senior pages in the yearbook, or go to the senior dinner. And I've been told that a senior is someone who, or a student who's in their fourth year at Vanguard. And so this makes you really sad, and I love the school, and it's the only school I've been to except for elementary. And if I can't be a senior because I work extra hard to graduate this earlier, then I'll never have that chance. And so when my mom and I tried to talk to the ones in charge of things, they said that's just how the other people did it. And so that's how we were going to do it. And so when I'm choosing to graduate early, that means that I'm choosing to not participate in regular senior activities. And I'm respectfully requesting that you look at this and decide if it's really the vision that you'd want for our school. I'm not the only student graduating early who wants to participate in the senior activities. And I want to thank you all again for your hard work, and we'll support your decision no matter the outcome. But thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sophia.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Yeah.
Okay. There
you go. Is working and you come.
Any discussion on that? Any?
I was under the understanding that once they did elect to graduate early, they automatically were seniors. Is that not right?
We've been told different, and by Catherine and Heidi were the ones that we asked.
And I thought we had a problem with this, especially on the yearbook last year, where Heidi said that the other schools did this, and we decided that, no, once they elected to graduate early, they get kind of bumped them up to the senior status. That's kind of what English 10-10 is. Once you decide you're going to graduate early, you're bumped up to senior status.
She signed the form that said, I will not come back here next year.
I don't understand why we wouldn't do the same for everything else.
Yeah.
Is there any comments?
And I'm glad Joy brought up the form. I think the biggest thing, with a yearbook, I thought they had decided that there would be a page for to honor the early graduates. It was just a question of, because when the pictures are taken, oftentimes it's prior to a student determining that they're going to graduate early.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they wouldn't be involved in that either. Then as far as sometimes we've had students who have declared they're going to graduate,
mm-hmm.
and then it comes to the last month or so and they say, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they will have participated as a senior and partaken of all the events and the being set up for seniors, and then they decide not to, and then they come back the next year.
And that's understandable.
So I think that's the reason that there was just kind of that gray area, because it's you know, if they're signing a form that says, yep, I'm done, I'm going to graduate, and
so,
and we're going to do it.
Presently, have we worked out the bugs on that? So that's not going to happen very often, only in very special, unique cases.
That what's not going to happen?
That the student will say, I'm graduating early, and then not.
I don't know that we've worked out the kinks, no.
I think we ought to just define a policy and say, this is the policy, we'll follow it. And if the policy says they can't back out, then they can't. But if they can, then that's part of the policy.
And only under special circumstances.
And maybe they have to go through certain steps.
I think as far as the yearbook and different activities, I would rather see them twice in the yearbook than not at all. So.
Well, they're always in the yearbook.
Well, I mean,
but
as far as
in that senior
picture. As far as their class picture.
But I don't know. Have we done class pictures for each grade level or just the senior class?
There's been a special senior picture every year.
Yeah. But do we in our yearbook? Do we also include a class picture for 11th
Not
graders?
I'm aware of.
So maybe that would be one way to kind of solve it. They're sophomores and they're pictured as sophomore in the yearbook.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the T-shirts, they do that at the beginning of the year.
That's when she was told not to. She'd already signed the form.
But I think we ought to go back to the policy and say, is there a policy to say this student wants to transition to be a senior this year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we would just treat him as a senior.
Yeah, and I think that's
right. Give him a designation. Yeah.
I think that's fine. I think we can just write something up that is like that. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's the only reason there was a problem is just because
there is no policy.
It has happened.
Yeah.
I mean, we have had, even just this December, we had 10 lined up to graduate in December, and then they thought, nope, never mind, I don't want to. I don't know what happened really that changed. And so then there was kind of that backpedaling, and we'd already accepted a couple more of the kids on our wait list because those were going to be graduating, and they didn't. And so we're over-enrolled right now as a result of that.
So on those 10 that were going to graduate early and did not, it's because of involuntary backing out, not a disqualification of some kind.
Correct.
How many of the 10 did that?
There were 3 or 4 of them that did just last, in the last few weeks. I think there are still 5 or 6 of them still that have decided not to.
Mm-hmm.
And then one is saying, well, maybe I want to just go ahead and graduate this year, at the end of this year. And so I think that policy would help us with some of this.
I agree.
Kind of back and forth.
Sounds like
so. If they're making a commitment, then they're making a commitment.
Yeah, and I think as long as the policy will handle whatever situation comes up.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there's enough emotion involved that Sony could probably write a policy and come up with it, and we can just vote on it. And approve it.
Do we want to put that on our open points to follow up on?
Let's do that.
Who wants to
write the policy?
Yeah, who volunteers?
And who's opening the policy?
Candace.
Yeah. Okay. But I'll assign it to, who do we want to assign it to? I'll open it, but I don't mind who.
I wouldn't mind drafting it.
Is that?
I'm just bringing it.
Sound good, you guys?
So if a student commits to graduate early, is it possible that they can be involuntarily disqualified?
Yeah, and they fail their classes.
But yes, and if they were trying to graduate early, then yes, they would have to be retained in essence back to a senior year, because their age would qualify them to stay. But if you had someone who's intending to graduate and doesn't meet the requirements and they're a senior or they're going to turn 18, then they can't.
So when
they will be
policy,
a dropout.
Let's consider that in the policy, that if they commit and they don't qualify, maybe that's made known to them as soon as possible when they are on track to graduate.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that would make sense.
Okay. Any other comments on that? We didn't. Maybe we'll move on to approving the minutes. I think if anybody needs a copy, we have a copy up here. I'll give you a few minutes to read it if you need. One comment I would say to the note taker, I think you're doing a really good job, but I wouldn't mind where it says teachers are loving the MRP. Any comment like that, maybe preceded by the person that stated it.
Makes the comment.
And it's probably Marie, but she was.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Just to clarify that that's not the whole board saying that.
Okay.
But it might be, but if it is the whole board, then put the whole board.
Okay.
So, but yeah, you're doing a good job. Appreciate it.
So do you want that fixed before we make it official?
This can be approved, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just in the future, it's probably make it easier to report more clear.
Okay.
All in favor of approving the minutes for Tuesday, January 28th, 2020, say yes.
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 All opposed, say no. The minutes have been approved. Open points, we're actually getting pretty low for a while. How about excellence? How are we doing on excellence in the school? From a teacher perspective, or administration, or board member?
I'd just like to point out our last assembly that we had. Our student body president this year has been amazing, Jacob Ingers. He does a vision assessment at the beginning of every assembly, and he reviews the goals that are the school goals with all the kids. He has a cheer that he does with the kids. Our student body is really jazzed and energized by the assemblies, and he does it in a really positive and supportively. I just wanted to give our board a shout out and let you know how awesome our student body president is this year. Like the kids, student government, and the assemblies, they've just been getting better and better all year. So, they're doing good.
And with our study skills, with the things that have been going around, like was mentioned last time, that's ongoing. So we're, you know, Joy's down there handing out the spoons to the kids at lunchtime and to read your chapter, and trying to motivate them in that way, and just trying to, and she's also writing an idea as far as putting a module, learning module up there for teachers so that they can learn how to best analyze those study skills and grade them and help the kids succeed.
So have we implemented the study skills policy into everything now? And the teachers are starting to go with that? What is the spoons thing? What is the spoons thing?
At lunch, when the students pick up their lunch, you have somebody that has to check the meal.
The napkin, fork, and straw that comes
so
with their meal.
It's my lunch duty, and usually I just hand out the forks and smile at the kids. But with our AVID team meeting, actually is the one who came up with this idea to have a phrase of the month. We took the top five study skills that actually happen to correlate with the Wicker strategy from AVID. And so there's a phrase of the month, and we, as an administration, this is our current one. As administration, we are all trying to connect with the kids when we see them, like in the hallways or at lunch. We actually pass this out to all the teachers. Teachers pass it out in the class, but ours for reading. So the phrase of the month is, did you read your chapter before class? And so we all, when we see kids, we all try to ask them, did you read your chapters? So that it's they're so immersed in it that they start to feel like it's important. And then we actually have a parent one that we send out in the parent newsletter that looks a little bit different. This is what we want. This is the definition of what it means to read your chapter. And this is actually the teacher handout. So we gave teachers instructions. The ones we post in the school have something for students to do. And then we haven't personalized the parent one yet, but it's coming. So. Anyway, in the future, we hope to have like really big posters for each phrase of the month, and it's just going to repeat every semester. So there's five phrases, and every semester we'll repeat the same five. So we can't miss it.
So hopefully those study skills will.
But a lot of kids, when I ask them at lunch now, they tell me they are reading their chapters.
Yeah. Cool.
We had a student go to a state competition for DECA in the accounting and qualify in the top 10.
Top five, in fact.
So,
wow.
That was really neat.
That's exciting.
So,
in accounting.
Yeah.
Help is on the way.
So that was
good. Very good. Anything else? We're getting close on our minutes, so. Last time we tried, decided we're going to incorporate a timer. Try to make the meetings go a little bit faster. So if someone starts waving at you, then here. But we'll. So the next one is for Joni. She's not here. So do we know anything about the work release program?
That's actually Catherine that's doing the work release. And the last I've heard, then we haven't moved further on that. Catherine's been focusing her time on scheduling and also on the career fair that's coming up.
She did start a course.
Did she start it?
I thought so in January, at the end of January. So I need to follow up with her and find out.
So that might.
I know we talked about it, and I thought that we did pay for the course so that she could start completing that. I'll follow up.
Put that in the minutes so we can kind of.
Yeah, and on Joni, she was just going to report out that we've got everything really tracking the graduation list and doing the app so that we're getting everything ordered. We're getting all the applications in for graduation from our students. We're verifying that they have all the credits that they need for graduation and working through that process, as well as getting student course requests in so that we can actually run the scheduler for next year.
Okay, next item is a bit on the new exit. Do we feel like we may need to move that up next year or sooner if we increase our numbers, but probably have a little bit of time on it. The next item, so we'll leave that open, make a proposed amendment to our charter for 20, which is, I think, on the agenda,
right?
That is
on the agenda.
So we'll.
Okay. And I think we'd probably change that year to 21-22.
Okay. Let's put it to 21-22, and let's keep it on it until we know that's been pushed through. So make a yearly calendar for our board meetings. We still need to, I think, we're going to go through.
Yeah, you and I need to go through it. I have one, a draft, but I think we need to just approve everything on it.
Okay. Yeah, send that to me and I'll review it. Or did you send it to me?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah, send it to me and we'll review it. I've actually sent it to the whole board, and if there's anything we need to add to the yearly calendar, looking at it. The next one is identify key indicators for AVID. I don't know if it's for Suzanne.
On that, we're just implementing some of the AVID curriculum in our leadership classes. The teachers have felt like that they're good. They're quite short, and so it's going to take some professional development to make sure that the teachers know that they kind of go back into their teacher mode and think of best teaching practices and elongate the lesson and with really maintaining fidelity to it, but adding something or, you know, whatever. I talked to a couple of them. Susanna says, you know, it's hard to kind of get it up to 20 minutes, and some of those lessons and those classes are 62 minutes long. And so they oftentimes end up with study hall time, you know, to go back and study. And some of the teachers are really good about having them check their grades and going into those study strategies that we're wanting them to put into every class. Another teacher, I talked to Alex, and he has started implementing some other activities to tie in. So they were doing a how-to essay, how to do something. Mm-hmm. And so he brought in Realia and had them talk him through how to, and then he kind of processed that so that they could see what they said matters. Right. And so he kind of started putting some of those things in his lessons. But that's, you know, those strategies that we're trying to put into place with that AVID. Mm-hmm. And we've got AVID elective. I had Heidi market it at the assembly because I don't know we're going to have kids selecting and applying to be a part of the AVID elective if they don't know that it exists or what it is, and why would they want it. So we're starting the marketing on that. Should have happened already, but we're getting started on it.
And we have a note. I should have read this note too. As soon as we have it on the top summary, we'll take it off the list. So I think we're close on that. I think we have a backpack policy, so I think we can take that one off.
We don't have the contract, though.
Yeah, this is a contract.
Oh, don't have a contract. No. Oh.
There was the draft that I sent to
really
the governance committee that the student government started, so if we want to finalize that and
maybe we'll look at that tomorrow.
There does need to be one because, have the same thing happening as before.
Has the contract that's been been reviewed by Suzanne and everybody thinks that should be the right one?
It was reviewed by me, and I thought that it was proposed that the governance committee would put that together And so we sent those to the governance committee to look at that and try to get a policy or an agreement form put in place.
Put a star on that. Okay. So the next one has come up with a recommendation for the school, changing the school enrollment, and that's on the agenda. If we vote on that today, we can possibly take it off. We need a yearly calendar to ensure our seniors are getting the graduation requirements. How does that look?
Again, it's part of the graduation app. It's not in place for sure. And I think I'm maybe would have to have clarification on what that means as far as what is it that you're wanting to see.
I think just
on the yearly calendar. Is it just checkpoints on, okay, which students are there?
Yeah, something in place to make sure we don't miss any
so like scholarships
graduates.
Or ECT testing or all the things that you need to do when you're a senior that seniors don't know you need to do, or even juniors towards that graduation. And I'm sure there's a ton of other things that you would, you know.
Okay, so just basically get the calendar for graduation to put it on our annual Vanguard calendar.
Yep.
So that it shows up, and a good chunk of those things are on a calendar, like the ACT test is on the calendar, we do our college drop dates and W dates and whatnot, but I think we need to do better about doing the specific graduation
So many things
checklist.
Too, like your FAFSA, getting prepared to get your admission into college, you know, different things like that, all those different little tiny things that kids, they're not aware of because they've never done it.
And we don't have it on the calendar. Like I said, we need to do better about doing that. But we do hold the FAFSA nights and the FAFSA days. And Slick is actually going to be here on the 3rd. And Heidi sent that information to Bonnie to get out into the parent email for tomorrow.
Okay.
And make sure that the kids are aware, because Slick will be here to have them apply for graduation from Slick.
Okay.
And we've invited Snow to come as well, so that if our kids are graduating from Snow with a certificate or anything, then they'll be able to meet with them and take care of that. So we just need to be better about having it on a calendar,
and
so we're not.
That you have to go through.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yep.
I think the app would take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so. So we'll leave that open. The next item is to make a proposal for amending our charter to clarify the graduation requirements. And
Joni talked to me about that too, and she sent me a spreadsheet because she had, you know, she was looking at the original charter,
mm-hmm.
and then we have our Exhibit A, and I think that's why the open point came up. We have our Exhibit A, which isn't quite as detailed as far as this number of credits need to be obtained, you know, in this year and whatnot. So our current Exhibit A just briefly condensed everything that was in the original charter,
mm-hmm.
but that is our charter now. So what was in the original charter, unless it's just not, that's just not the document that we hold to. We hold to the new Exhibit A. And so in that it says that the graduation requirements are that same thing that was in our original, they would take music every year, math every year, and leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. Every year they attend. So if we have an early graduate, that just means that they take 3 math credits because that's what's required. And then it also says that the students will get 24 to 27 credits for graduation. The state requires 24. So those extra 3 are indeed that music, leadership, and science and math, because we require that they have that every year. So the thing is, we look at their schedule, and as long as they're meeting state graduation requirements, then we can recommend them for graduation, because our charter does say 24 to 27. It says that they'll take these courses every year. So as long as they do, whether it's a full year course, whether it's a quarter, whether it's a semester, or if they're an early graduate, then it would only be 3 classes because they wouldn't attend 4 years. So I think that's been clarified. She's trying to write that up. She's been working on that graduation app, and that's part of what she was going through on that. She was just trying to clarify everything.
So that's probably both of these will be cleared up.
I have a question. If you're trying to amend the charter, if you're trying to amend the mission or your mission statement on the school, do you have to amend the charter?
I think it's a different type of amendment. It doesn't take the time frame that like an expansion request takes. But I think you do send that in and say, okay, here's what our previous one was. This is what we want to see happen. I'm not positive if that has to go through the state charter board or if that's just our board that approves any kind of change on the mission statement, adding a word here, taking a word out there, or if it was changing entirely, I think it would have to go to the state charter board.
So if you're just going to tweak it?
I believe that would be at our board level.
As long as
it doesn't change
the overall mission.
The overall mission of what we're doing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's sensible. Make some updates. We change a recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else? So we'll go on to the reports. Last time we asked on the reports to I just present two positives, two challenges, and then that's it. So maybe we'll turn the time over to Suzanne for the director's report.
Okay, two positives are we're getting our top summary for our MRP streamlined, and you know, with Rebecca and Kathleen working on it, they've really done some great things on it. So that's, I think maybe that's even 10 positives, because it's I think going to help you guys to see at a glance, how's Vanguard doing? What are the kids doing? What are the results we're getting, and how does that look? And I think it's going to really make a difference financially, as well as all the data for the students, and in a visual format that I think is going to make it nice for you.
So on that, I think Rebecca has emailed some numbers out to the board. I'm not sure if you saw them, but that's part of that top summary. And she's going to be doing that on a...
Yeah. And do you have the visual from the top summary for...
I can't seem to... I'm having some issues getting that.
So maybe the bad news is we have it.
Bad news is
I can't let you see it. Good news is we did close our enrollment, and we did receive more applications, enrollments, than we have seats for. So I guess we could say that's a good news, bad news situation, to where we don't have room to allow all the enrolled students in Vanguard next year. And that's the reason for the amendment request to try to increase enrollment, because we've had typically had our enrollment requests increased each year, and this year has not been different, and we would like to accommodate the requests that we're getting. So, and I think that's all I have.
Okay, good. You're under your 5 minutes. So we'll go on to Grace for the finance.
Grace, or there's Kathleen.
Okay. My good news is we have John Williams to welcome to our team. So he has, is it 10 or 11 years, John? Well, he's got a lot of experience in finance and even some HR, and bring some strengths to our team. I brought this last time. Erin had created this summary to help to better look at the programs, and we are getting those addressed as we get closer to closing out programs and looking at where we are and what funding we have left. So we are starting the process to create the budget amendment that is usually done in June. We're gonna have that, the goal is to have that ready by the March board meeting, so that we can see where we currently are compared to what we plan to be in some of the changes. Some places we are higher than we expected to be on the expenses, some places lower, and just to go through and see what's left and to make final decisions that way. John has a lot of strengths in the balance sheet side, so we've been going through to make sure everything is accurate and clear any errors or make the updates that need to be there. So that's been very helpful. I can't think.
I think we should have a good financial statement by the next meeting.
To have it complete with.
To have it so that everyone can look at it and see what, where all the numbers come from and the details of it also.
Yep. So we've been, anyway, looking through and going really thoroughly through the programs a lot earlier than we have in the past, because John's able to drill down and take the time to go into it. And so we are, the program accounting is going to be a lot more accurate moving forward. And it's been pretty good, but it's just, we're getting some procedures in place that will take care of things and help keep it on track throughout the year. Other than that, most everything else is as we go.
Okay, any questions on the budget? We need to, on 700 property, we're over budget.
We did, so yeah, that was some of the ones which the additional computers that were being requested for through the CTE program. We had not originally budgeted for them.
Was that the other purchase services as well? That one's over. So account 500.
Well, 500.
I will look into that.
As well as your 300. Professional tech. And I'm assuming that's just a matter of reclassing between different programs.
Yeah. So.
I'm actually wondering if your some of your 500 should go to 400 because your budget for 400 is very generous. And
that is gonna, most of that will come through from the lease and through.
Oh, I see.
Some of those, because this is just, if you look at the percentage, we're just over half, and so this was at January.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of January, our lease part. We paid half of our lease for the year,
okay.
So it will actually balance out on that one quite a bit.
Right. So we're about where we thought we would be.
For the most part, we are. I will double check the 300 and 500 to see where we are on those. The 700, I know we had the additional labs, computer lab that we put on purchase, and I will make note and be able to answer that for next time on 300 and 500.
Okay. Any more discussion on that? excuse me. If not, we'll move to the Academic Assessment Committee report. We'll start with Joy. She's the only one here. Three, so. And she left.
She left.
So.
and I already kind of gave Joni's.
Joni's update.
Yeah, she wasn't able to make it tonight, but hers was focused on GPS plans getting finalized, the course requests being submitted so we can get the schedule for next year going, and mm-hmm. the graduation process, getting that taken care of.
Yeah, and I think the open points, if we can clear up those open points, hers will be done. So. Okay, do you have anything you want to?
For the academic?
Yeah.
With the curriculum, I mostly wanted to report on the study skills policy. We already talked about it a little bit. It was immediately issued to all staff and talked about in the Friday meeting after it was approved by the board. And everyone has been getting it into Canvas. Rebecca's been pulling the reports, and I've been working with her to get it on the board top summary. And so that's when we have that open point on the board, open points for measurement indicators for Abbott success. I think Abbott school-wide can be definitely measured by those five study skills being implemented in every classroom. So we should see that in the next few weeks on board top summary. The other positive thing that I wanted to mention with curriculum, so one of the challenges that we've had with successful implementation of curriculum has been teacher effectiveness in the classroom, which boils down to classroom management and some of their strategies. As Suzanne asked myself and Marie to become teacher mentors just before the break, And so we went to Ontology, What's Best Practice. We were able to find a book called Get Better Faster that's very well renowned. It's been published just in the last few years, but the system that they're using has been used to great success. And there's basically just like a course that we have at Vanguard with a list of concepts that a student needs to master that are usually taught in a specific order. This is a course for a teacher. And it's not necessarily a class that they sit in, it's a coaching program. And it has a list of concepts and the order that a teacher should teach them in the learning. And the way that the institution that, there's many places that have used it, but the one main one that got the list going and has been using it for about 20 years, they said when a teacher graduates from college or whatever point they're at, once that school hires them, they start it at square one. And as they observe in the classroom, they check off and say, this teacher has this, this, this. As soon as you get to something on the list that they don't have that skill, then there's a coaching mentoring session to help them. And it actually comes along with a coach's guide that tells me how to have the conversation with the teacher with that skill. And I practice with the teacher to build the skill. Once they practice it 10 times, and then I observe again in the classroom to see if they've mastered it. Anyway, it's a really neat program. And I'm going through the coaching portion right now. Marie also got a copy of it. And we're going to start there. In the past, we have been doing observations with feedback, but it hasn't been working towards a specific set of skills like that. So there, anyway, we'll basically have a spreadsheet with the teachers' names and the skill sets across the top. And once we have coached all of our newer teachers, it's designed to go for about a year. And if a teacher progresses through it faster, there's a second set of skills that's all rigor and how to get in deeper into instructional strategies. Once we get our new teachers through it, we can even go to our teachers who are here for a long time. Like I was talking to Stephanie about it, and you know, a teacher who's got like 80% of the skills still wants to get that 20%. So along that idea, we also have been discussing a little bit. So curriculum, it has to be, there's got to be training for teachers. And this is what has been an open point for me, a feedback that I've been getting all 5 years on those study skills and why maybe they haven't been implemented. And so as I go to my curriculum directors meetings at the state office, they talk about something called micro-credentialing. And I'm starting to design a program for the Vanguard teachers where we can give them a micro-credential in each study skill. So we can have a Canvas course that's the study skills for a teacher, not only how to use the study skill, but how to teach the study skill. And they can get a micro-credential for reading the chapter. They can get a micro-credential for on taking notes. We have been doing extensive training. The AVID program was brought in to be a support for study skills, and it has been very helpful. It provides a lot of ready-made professional development. We're giving one on Friday that's going to be great. So we're pushing really hard on those fronts because we can get the best textbook in the world, but if the teacher doesn't have good classroom management and relationships with the kids, kids aren't going to learn in the class. And on that note, we've also been doing Love and Logic for the teachers, which has been very well received. The teacher ones, then our teachers have been presenting those on the Friday meetings, and we've been getting a lot of good feedback from teachers. And we plan to redo that program each year. There's 9 teacher modules. Every year we'll repeat them and also do some micro-credentialing for those so that a teacher can get micro-credential and empathy. Anyway, that's my time.
So the teacher mentoring and the AVID and the Love and Logic, mm-hmm. all those, are they incorporated in the same process, or is that all 3 separate, independent?
So they're parts? Separate, but supporting structures for...
They're all different?
Yeah.
But the tracking that you said, they contain certain levels,
mm-hmm.
Is that just the mentoring tool that you're using?
So the mentoring tool, yes, has a list of concepts to be... a good teacher, basically best practice.
Do the teachers get feedback to see where they're at on it?
Yep. That's so the whole thing is once they miss a skill, then they have a coaching session to practice it.
Can we summarize that and show the board?
Yes.
we
have one.
Or is that in that format? Or is that a,
we did
that
already create a summary. The reason why you haven't got the report yet is because all the boxes are blank, because it comes down to how much time I can spend in the classroom. I have to be in the classroom to be able to mark off on that and say where each teacher's at.
But did AVID have a part that addressed that portion?
Address teacher management? They
or
have
teacher mentoring and skills, teacher skills?
No, not like this book.
Didn't they have to have that to incorporate their plan?
So they want professional development for teachers on implementing the AVID strategies.
Right.
And the AVID strategy is like
But isn't that a strategy like another teacher skill?
Mm-hmm. I need to, I'll give you the list of teacher skills.
And it wouldn't be fit in the kind of category of?
Not quite. So I'll give you an example, because they have a lot of story.
And I just wonder if we could wrap them together and have that all three put together, plus the love and logic, and have them.
Mm-hmm. Murray and I wondered about putting on your board top summary the number of mentoring sessions that have happened.
I'd almost rather see the progress they're making.
So you want to see how
where they're assessed?
Percent of those concepts checked off. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So
if a teacher needs specific mentoring, specific tools, and maybe they need love and logic, mm-hmm. or whatever your assessment is, and then then we could track it and say, that's what Suzanne would want to know.
Yeah. Maybe she could write the blank summary for now, but so that you could see, and then.
Could you write open point three, Stephanie? Yeah. So.
Something like that would make.
So you want to know the percent passed off that a teacher is on that, those skill sets. And then we can either put love and logic, add it to the list, or we can make love and logic separate.
It's nice to have them all in one place, even if they're separate.
So we can have them all in one place, and then if you want to see those individual categories, you can just drill down. Is that good?
Yeah, kind of like a teacher management summary.
Okay. We'll add love and logic and the
Avid
stuff to
that. Because that would help us. I haven't seen a whole lot from Avid. I hope we're going to run this way.
I know.
But if I keep hearing good reports on it, but
you don't see it, huh?
It's hard to see this at this level. Mm-hmm. We've invested a lot. So.
If you, it is showing up on 180.
But if it shows up in the top summary or that kind of a chart, then I think that would help.
Okay.
It seems like it'd be real useful for administration. Okay. Anything else?
That was it.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. I think the next. Is there any other discussion? I think
I'm
the next one.
I'm just going to say something on behalf of assessment and Vanguard. I don't know if you've seen this, but Marie put together a sheet. We haven't shared it out with teachers yet, but we probably will this Friday. But it shows where Vanguard is ranking as compared with other schools in the state. Vanguard is number 9 in the state.
In what areas?
Overall. And then at the top, you can see some of the areas where we're, you know, maybe on growth, I think we're.
Those are the areas
that
they compare.
Yeah.
So it's out of all high schools, not just charter?
All high schools.
So here's the one place, here's Skyline, it's Cross. So
we're over New Ames and Ames now. See, those are some of the schools that we've gone to look at.
We're hiring at Tenor.
We looked at those schools as we're getting started.
Is there a way to like tell the teachers, yay, we did it?
That's what we wanted to do.
But then say, we want to be one.
Yeah, for sure.
So
that's always the goal.
Do.
We're getting closer. And we have to celebrate those successes, but yes.
There's only one public school higher than
it would be nice to tell
us, which is Davis County.
We should have a great job.
But we still need
to keep 14
students.
Yeah.
14 kids, you could do anything.
Oh, yeah. We're just getting started.
Those were hand-picked. So, yeah. The higher the number, I'm sure that that challenges. So Davis County is doing something right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beehive is still alive?
Oh,
yeah.
They revamped. So after those bad years, they came back and they hit hard and strong. They're a platinum STEM designated school. Platinum is the highest you can get.
She's going down there to be part of their accreditation review team. Because we're up for accreditation next year, by the way.
So I think that would actually be real good in our favor for increasing our enrollment.
Uh-huh.
And
for sure.
So many years. So, yeah. That's it. So this is a state published. There's also another.
This is they're published, but it's a form that Marie put together to just kind of show where Vanguard is in each of those categories.
They actually have a more detailed report that shows every category that they.
Yeah.
This is a summary grouping of all the areas. Some of our areas were really, really high. So.
Is there a ranking like this for junior highs as well?
This includes high school and junior high and elementary.
Okay.
So I think that she took off all of the elementary and just left all that.
And left the junior high.
Junior high and high school.
So this includes junior high and high school students. Then.
Yeah. I believe so.
Are these all the categories that they measure by?
Yes.
And I think, did they send out the spreadsheets for everything? All the assessment?
They did, and I know that Marie needed to download it because they only had it active for a time, and I know that she did upload it or download it, whatever she needed to do.
Yeah. Wouldn't have had to send that out to the board.
That's what I was going to say. Can we get a copy of that?
Yep.
Yeah, we'll send that out.
Will you do an open plate for Marie?
Mm-hmm. So that's
actually very
that's pretty impressive. There's
yeah.
If we drill down a bit, we can figure out what areas we can start focusing on.
Yeah, for sure. There's always room for improvement.
Yeah.
Even when we're number one, there's still room for improvement. We want to get those growth points always.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's another independent site that assesses schools, and we're, I think, in their top 10 too.
Mm-hmm.
So you have state and independent. Of course, independents, I think, take a lot of the data from here.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
okay.
Thought we'd celebrate.
You're doing awesome.
Good job for you guys, too.
That's nice. Yeah, you got it. Okay, so we'll go on to the next item, the fee schedule. Do we have a copy we can get to? I think we sent it out.
I did send that out. And I did look into this. I realized what happened is his numbers in the budget column actually were pulled from 2019 budget, and that's why. So when I pull up the real numbers, we are not over budget in any of those three categories. So
okay, that's good.
I will make sure that those are right.
Will you send this out to me?
Yes.
So
that's what happened there. The header says 20 budget, but it was actually 2019.
Well, the overall looks good.
So overall, we are not over budget in those categories. Sorry, I was looking that up.
And as we look at the fees, and you can go ahead and get that, there is a training that John's going to go to, as well as Kathleen. Are you going to go, which date was it that
you're
going?
March 6th.
March 6th is when you're going.
Yeah.
Okay. So they'll be going, and they're going to be going over the fees, the fundraisers, the new board rule and how we're in compliance with it. So I think the main thing for having the fees here is I think it has to be on our agenda. You have to review it, look at it, kind of see what you're going to be doing. But in all honesty, I think I'd like to have John and Kathleen go to that training and get more information so that we can make a more informed decision on our fee schedule. That's what my recommendation would
be. I just sent to the printer the last year's fee schedule, so you can take that with you and see where we are.
Okay.
We do need to, I send out digitally the model policy from the state because there have been a lot of changes that are coming, and some of them are not required yet, but that's why they're giving us this time to make sure that we're set up ready to meet the new requirements and to make sure that we can function that way. So if you could look at the model policy that has been sent out, so that we would like to have it modified to meet Vanguard needs by the March meeting was the goal, so that we can have that approved with our new fee schedule. So
and on the fundraising, our music department has made the request that they can hold some fundraisers trying to raise funds to do a California trip for our kids next year. And I did tell her that I would like to have our people attend, John and Kathleen attend that training so that we know what we're looking at, because I did notice that fundraising is one of those elements on there, and I know that there's something along the lines of that kids cannot fundraise for individuals, and that they, number one, can't be required to, number two, that whatever the funds they raise is not allocated to an individual student, it goes into the big pot.
Mm-hmm.
And with the fee schedule, it's my understanding, and when I was reading through the law before, it's my understanding that that fee-waivered students would not have to pay the fee even for the California trip. The Vanguard would have to stand the expense if the funds were not raised by students.
By the fund, the pool.
So
a student couldn't be disqualified from going on the trip if they wanted to go and didn't raise any funds.
Right. If they weren't fee waivered, they would have to pay the rate, but a fee waivered student, that is a waivable fee. And anything that is a school sponsored event, the DECA competition that when our kids went back east last year, the Skills USA, if they go to nationals or anything like that, the Utah or National History Day Fair, we had some kids that went last year. We had a donation that came in that covered a good chunk of those expenses. But that's one thing that I feel like I need more information to know where to go with the fees and the fundraisers and such.
I agree. So I think that'll help. Okay, any more discussion on fee schedule? The next item on the agenda is the vote for the our expansion application, and I sent it out. It was really short, but I don't know if anybody.
It should be in your email, and I do have a copy here, and I'd be happy to make copies if you want me to. It is not a completed application. It is just the nuts and bolts. We would have to do the information. We'd have to provide the information. They do need to have one of the articles or artifacts that they need is a copy of the board meeting minutes where this application for us to put in that application has been approved. The deadline for submitting this in order for our request to take place in the year 21-22 would be July 1.
So there's just a special note, next year will be over-enrolled by 31.
We'll actually be over-enrolled by 54.
But the 3%.
And then the 3% can absorb.
Is there any
14 of those.
Like express that we could expedite this for next year?
It can't happen for next year. Yeah, we have to have it in by July so that the charter board can take it up to, and we would present it to the charter board. They would have to approve it. Then it goes to the state committee, and they would have to approve it. It's kind of like that waiver request we put in. So it goes up the next level, the next level, the next level. But for an expansion, they do require that time frame.
What capacity do we feel like this facility would grow to? Any analysis on that?
If we don't reserve the south room for a concert hall, if we had a separate location for programs and concerts and whatnot, and we've considered using the recreational center we use for PE, and the music department decided they would probably rather have the final concert here in our building. At junior high we went to is not available for our spring date.
Okay.
But if we had a different place for assemblies and whatnot, then that, and if we were to lease the entire building, then we could double our enrollment and we would still fit in this building. But that's leaving no room for an assembly hall or anything of that matter.
With that many students enrolled, we might could fund a development plan and build much for them.
Yeah, and I think that if we wanted to try to look toward leasing some ground that's northeast of the building to do a track or anything, an outbuilding of any sorts, then I think that revolving loan is up.
The application usually opens in April, so I did go back and look in previous years when they send out the information. The application usually opens at the end of April, so I'll be watching for that.
Is that property still available?
It's available to Vanguard if we wanted to talk to the owners.
Better look at that one, look at this one, and see if that would make sense.
And the revolving, what's the percentage? Isn't it like one?
It's really low.
It's like 1% or even less than 1%. Anyway, it's a very low interest rate on that super revolving loan.
What's the max that we could fund?
It's 300 total, but we still, do you remember what you have left, John?
I don't know. The one we have now, I think, will be paid off in August.
But don't we have, isn't the property loan like $3 million?
It would just become a part of the lease.
Yeah, it would be.
Part of the lease, okay.
Or not necessarily a lease, it would be for probably development.
So we would have a down payment or something like that towards that, but then there would be an additional increase to the lease.
Okay, yeah.
Look at those options. I do just want to mention my last school that I was at Early Light. When they wanted to expand, then they built a performing arts center with some classrooms attached. The setup was stunning, and they did a really good job at the performing arts center.
I think if we approach those numbers that we're looking at, then it seems like it's feasible.
Yeah.
And preferable. So. Okay. Okay, so what, as far as the fee authorization, or sorry, the expansion application, is there anything else we need before we vote? So we're basically voting on if we should proceed with
if
this.
If you want to approve that we fill out and submit that application.
So we're submitting it this July?
Yes, it would need to be submitted by or before July 1 this year to request that increase in enrollment or that expansion to begin 2021 and 22.
How many years is it covering in the future?
3 years is what this application has on it.
So our projections go out further, but we would probably have to reapply in a year or two?
I'm assuming when I looked at the application, it just had the 3 years. I don't know if they would allow us to increase that and say we want to do a five-year plan. I can check into it to see.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like there's some pages at the end that go to an 11-year projected enrollment.
Yeah, it's just numbers that we've gotten from our primary feeder school.
Oh, I see.
So you take it up to 220 per grade.
Well.
In 11 years, yeah.
I see it as an application time in the future, about 5 years.
Yep.
You may want to consider the split.
to do a satellite school.
Do a satellite school. I know we looked at that before.
Yeah, and I think that would be a good option. That's why I wasn't concerned, really, about doing it for a three-year plan. Because then we could see how successful we are with that increased enrollment and see if we want to expand. Because we do have quite a large population coming from the southwest end of the valley that, you know, I would like to look at maybe seeing would that be feasible, would that be the right next step for Vanguard is to open a new school in the Southwest Valley.
What is the population needed to support a center here that you build performance?
An art center? I don't know.
I mean,
probably
you
we're
would
there.
Probably come from far away with use it for both schools or other satellites, but what's the population that would support?
It's
I'm not sure. I haven't done anything.
Yeah, we got to look at that.
We have a new money guy. He would figure it out.
That's right.
We're going down to analyze that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. So the question would be to do an analysis on the expansion or a satellite versus expanding the current site in Berlin. Possibly an arts center or gym or whatever.
And what population is needed to support a new structure here?
Okay. So
Yeah, and I think there are different questions, and it would be different applications. Mm-hmm. I think the main thing is if we feel like, if the board feels like that this is something we should move forward with, then we could include that agreement or that approval from this meeting. If not, if you wanted to think about it, again, we have until July 1. I really don't want to push it to that point, because if we submit it and we need to maybe amend anything or fix mm-hmm. anything, I'd like to have some wiggle room to submit and get the charter. Last time with the amendment request, then I did have the Secretary of the State Charter School Board review it for me, and mm-hmm. she gave it back to me with some input. So I'd like to have some time to do that if there's somebody up there that would review it to make sure that we've got all of our I's dotted and T's crossed.
Yeah, I would like to push it through sooner than later just so we can get the feedback, because I think you get a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
But if you wait, then sometimes you miss
it. But if you felt comfortable in this meeting, that would be fine. If not, if you wanted another month and to review and analyze and look at that, even to have it approved in March, I think would be sufficient to get some of that information up to the state and get some input and then get it submitted before July 1st.
I think it makes sense to do the 3-year plan and then also get the analysis done at the same time for the future.
Yeah. Speaking of the March meeting, it's caucus meeting. It's the same as caucus.
Same night?
Same
Do we
night.
Want to change our meeting
yeah,
night?
Yeah, we can move it. We can move it to the next night.
The March meeting?
Yeah. So okay. Move it to Wednesday. Okay.
And, you know, if you feel comfortable, I would prefer that we move forward on it sooner rather than later. But like I said, I don't want to. Because it's the board that needs to approve it. It's actually the board chair's signature that would have to go on the... Form, so.
I think we're going to learn as we move forward on it. Yeah. So I think I would vote. And we'll vote to move forward. If someone will propose it.
Almost that we vote, that we approve the proposed plan. Is it the 3-year plan, right? That we're going to do the report. So I emotionally approve the proposed 3-year plan.
Second.
So all in favor of approving the application for expansion, say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, say no. So the voting is unanimous. We'll go ahead and proceed with that. and then we'll just keep up with it. I think it would be nice if John would go through and do that analysis for us and come up with what the right answer would be. So, the last item is just for discussion. It's the USBE model policy.
It should have been the Code of Ethics model policy. This is our current code of ethics policy that was passed at the very beginning. It was pulled from a model school, but they've changed the code of ethics policy, model policy from the state. They sent that out in January. So there is quite a bit of a difference, where it's just quite kind of just brief and a summary. The new model policy addresses a lot of the issues that many schools are having with teachers losing their license, or teachers or staff losing licensure or their position at a school or different things like that, whether it's a reprimand or complete loss of licensure. So they have updated the policy and sent that out, and we can make ours more strict than what the state is recommending, but I think we need to at least meet what they're recommending. So it is kind of a long model policy, so I figured maybe take a little bit of time this time and hopefully approve it next. Make recommendations or what needs to do to move forward for board approval.
Yeah, so this is just the idea is this is just a discussion this time, next time.
Um,
any way that we want to move forward. If however you would like to send feedback back to me to get it ready for the next meeting, then we can have that modified to make it sound good.
I wonder if we ought to have the PTSO get their feedback, if they have any ideas on this.
One thing I noticed as I was going through it is, I think everything here is good, but some of the stuff I don't know how to do is enforced, I guess. Some of it's kind of up for interpretation versus be generous in praise. And that probably differs from person to person what that means. So if you have a policy that says teachers shall be generous in praise, how would you?
So and I think what we're looking at is just adopt and replace what we currently have with the state's model policy, and I think what we'd like to do is use that model policy as the foundation, and then if you feel like that there's anything that needs to be added, that we would add to it. If there's wording that maybe is a little nebulous that you think we might could word a little better, that's fine, as long as the heart of the law or the rule is remains just as stringent or more stringent than what that is written as. So we would be looking to replace Vanguard's current policy with this.
Or something more strict.
Or something more strict.
So we could combine them?
Yes. We could.
So however you
we can like add parts to old to that state model.
Any other
Okay, I think that's any more discussion on that? That's the last item on our agenda.
Wait, just one more comment on this one, and I haven't finished reading it yet. But is there anything in here that says how a staff member should react if a student approaches them over in an inappropriate way? Or
I thought I read something in there.
I didn't get to it if there was.
Basically, I thought I read that, but maybe it was just part of the training that I gave to the teachers. Because the state did send out a model training session as well, and I just did it verbatim with our staff just to make sure that I didn't miss anything. And I know that it was included in that, but that's a good point. We might can just make sure
there ought to be
there
a
as
time
well.
if a student did something inappropriate, there ought to be a way that the teacher reacts so that it's known that they're acting the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know that training did say, and it did say to take it directly to the supervisor or the director of the building, and if they didn't feel comfortable taking it to the director, then it would go to the board.
So I just read through it really fast. And I didn't know why. Not that it's ever going to happen.
Better not.
And also have more discussion on this next time before we vote on it, with the idea that we can do more research and make sure it's complete. So. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Do we
have to have a motion?
We have to have a motion to close.
As soon as close.
All in favor of closing the board meeting, say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, say no.
Yes.
board meeting is closed.